Thank you very much, and good morning. This is the conference call on the occasion of the third quarter results of Siemens. This morning at 7:00 A.M., we published our results. Information can be found on our website, siemens.com. Afterwards, the recording of this conference call can also be accessed. Mr. Kaeser and Mr. Thomas, after a short introduction, will be able for any questions you may have, and I also would like to refer you to the safe harbor statement, which you will find on the second page of our presentation. Now I hand over to the CEO, Joe Kaeser.
Thank you, Mr. Hoffmann. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our press call for the third quarter of fiscal 2016. I know it's holiday time, and some of you are probably already on holiday. Therefore, I am very grateful to you for dialing in today. I can also give you some good news, which is somewhat unusual in our industry nowadays, but more of that in a minute. As a company which is working in more than 200 countries, we have to keep an eye on crisis and conflicts to assess risk and respond to situations. They say that disorder is the new world order, and this disorder is unfortunately increasing in the terms of frequency and gravity and the scope of its consequences. The citizens of the U.K. have voted in favor of Brexit, which poses new and unexpected challenges for the European Union and the United Kingdom, but also for companies as well. With 14,000 employees and soon 14 production facilities in the U.K., we are a major industrial employer there. For us, it's important that Brexit does not create new barriers that would impede trade and exchange. One way or another, we need to achieve clarity as soon as possible on the basis of which we can make our decisions and also verify them. Turkey is also an important market for Siemens as well. We've been there for 160 years now, and after the current events, we can no longer reliably assess how the country will develop in the long term. We hope that Europe and Turkey will meet again as partners, and that this partnership, which is so important for all parties, will be possible on the basis of democratic principles. Acts of violence in Istanbul, Paris, Brussels, Nice, Würzburg, and Ansbach, and of course here in Munich, to mention only a few, are cowardly attacks on innocent people and an attack on a free and open society. We extend our deepest sympathy to the families and friends of the victims. Nevertheless, we should not allow ourselves to be intimidated, because otherwise the perpetrators will have achieved their goals. In difficult times like this, leading people in politics, science, religion, and business, and I think also in the media, need to act responsibly, provide orientation, and play their roles in society properly. If we want to preserve a free, tolerant, open society, then all of us need to play our part. Responsible action, ladies and gentlemen, is also necessary in order to maintain the competitive position of Siemens for the future. That is why we're investing very much in innovation and also new forms of innovation, such as our startup company, Next47. To ensure our competitiveness, we also need to make capacity adjustments in businesses which are affected by structural and often serious market changes. At the last annual general meeting, I announced there was an urgent need for extra process industries and drives, and the division's current quarterly figures have made it clear, because it is the only division that has not achieved the profitability targets derived from the comparison with the competitors. All the other divisions and Healthineers, despite difficult business conditions, have remained within their target corridors. Wind power and renewables, in fact, were slightly above the margin. Waiting is not an option. We need to make sure that we are fit for automation and digitalization. There are different changes in processes and drives, which we shall make resolutely in order to act fairly and responsibly. We are strengthening Germany as a business location by continuing to invest in Cuxhaven, for example, where we're building a new wind turbine factory with up to 1,000 jobs. In Erlangen, we're getting a new job campus, and in Munich, we have also opened our new corporate headquarters, which was a source of great pleasure to me. I repeat myself now, two-thirds of our expenditure on research and development investments in the future are going to Germany. Siemens is also creating many new jobs. In the first 9 months of this fiscal year in Germany, we hired about 3,300 new people. Globally, it was 25,300 who have joined Siemens. And Siemens, I can assure you, will continue to hire people in large numbers everywhere in the world and also in Germany. Ladies and gentlemen, the third quarter shows that we're rigorously and successfully executing our concept, Vision 2020. We're strengthening our portfolio and improving our earnings power with project development in a reliable manner and creating growth by re-established customer proximity. The merger of Siemens Wind Power and Renewables Division and Gamesa is a good example of prudent portfolio policy. On a cost-optimized basis, we are creating a world leader in the renewable energy market, which is a market that's very important to us. On several occasions, we've informed you about the goals and purposes of a startup company, Next 47, which we set up under the working title of Innovation AG in October. We are taking a new approach to innovation management, both in Germany and which is unique both in Germany and in the industry. We're investing over €1 billion in the next five-year period, and Next 47 will concentrate on five innovation fields initially around our present focus concerned with distributed electrification, which is becoming more and more important, renewable energies, which is, and also artificial intelligence, a basic technology for the Internet of Things, and data analysis, networked e-mobility, blockchain applications. You might have heard of the Bitcoin business, but also applications for autonomous machines, including robotics. And when I say robotics, ladies and gentlemen, I mean the brains of the robots, the controls, the software, and not so much the mechanical aspects. In the third quarter, our operational performance once again enabled us to achieve convincing results, particularly when compared to the market. I'm very proud of my global team, which delivered excellent performance, I think, especially with regard to growth in an increasingly difficult market environment, especially with large orders from customers all over the world, especially Europe and America this time, in the divisions power and gas and wind power and renewables, has helped us regain reliability. Siemens booked €1 billion order for an offshore wind farm in Scotland. In the Beatrice project, we're delivering 84 wind turbines, each with a capacity of 7 megawatts. The offshore wind farm will supply about 400,000 households with clean energy. We have a 15-year agreement on servicing the wind power plant. Digitalization is becoming more important as a service, and we use remote maintenance for more than 10,000 wind turbines throughout the world. Even today, more than 85% of faults reported are handled remotely without having to inspect the turbines on the spot. It's all done at the Siemens Control Center. That is a digitalization in work, which takes place in Germany, and it's not just a question of digitalization on this display. We also gained a major order worth €700 million in the USA, where in Lordstown in Ohio, we're supplying a turnkey power plant with two H-class gas turbines. Here too, we've got a long-term service agreement with remote servicing and diagnostic software. Ladies and gentlemen, the third quarter has seen a good development for Siemens, and I can tell the story quite quickly. Order backlog has now grown to a record 116 billion euros. Adjusted for currency effects, the incoming orders rose to 21.1 billion euros, which was a 10% increase. The revenue increased by 9%, excluding currency effects. The book-to-bill ratio was 1.06, and in the internal business, the margin was increased by 130 basis points to 10.8%. This is the industrial business, and here it was the currency effects weren't important there, and profit after tax was 1.4 billion euros, which is almost 300 million more than we've seen in the third quarter of previous years. If you look back at Q3 2013, there was an extraordinary effect. And the divisions of energy management and wind power and renewables have implemented their restructuring programs rapidly, and the 8 of the 9 divisions are within the target margin ranges. Now, coming to the individual divisions, I'll take you through one at a time. Power and gas is seizing its opportunities in a challenging market. The team is working really hard and making good progress. I think the growth, adjusted for currency effects and portfolio effects, rose by 22%. Adjusted revenue growth improved by 22%, resulting also from the accelerated execution of orders and not least the Egypt project. Nevertheless, there is excess capacity in this market, and it is faced with great competition. Our competitors are reacting to losses with very aggressive pricing policies in some cases. After the Beatrice project in Scotland, the wind power and renewables division was able to win another major order for the Arkona wind farm in the Baltic of the coast of Germany. And together, these two projects account for order intake of nearly 2 billion euros. The division achieved the highest quarterly revenue of 1.7 billion euros. For the second time in succession, the margin third was extraordinarily high because it's making good progress in cutting production installation costs, and with Gamesa, we'll also be able to make better use of the economies of scale for the benefit of our customers. Another project that I find impressive is innovative in day-to-day business, which is something happening in the energy management division in China. There, we are building the biggest high-voltage direct current transmission link in the world. It's HVDC, the abbreviation, high-voltage direct current transmission link. There, 1,100 kilovolts of converter transformers are a world premiere for Siemens here. The plant link is 3,300 kilometers long, which corresponds to the distance from Munich to the North Cape, which will have a transmission capacity of 12 gigawatts, which is the amount of electricity generated by 12 normal power plants. The energy management division in the last quarter continuously improved its earnings power and is now back within its target management corridor, and we expect that that will be the case for the year as a whole. The management team there is really implementing exactly what it set out to do 2 years ago when we had the restructuring. Building technologies is likewise a success story. In all the region's businesses, it increased incoming orders and had a really impressive team performance in improving its profitability in the previous in this quarter compared to the same quarter the previous year. It was very successful in a weak market environment and increased its market share even though the market had zero growth. And what that means for the market is easy to understand. We have a very strong position in industrial digitalization, particularly with the product lifecycle management software, which in 2007, with the acquisition of UGS Unigraphic Software, was when it started. The integration costs for CityAdaptCo were within the target range as a whole, with the margin was on 15.7%, which is the level we expected. Now, let's turn to the Process Engines and Drives division, which is the only division which didn't achieve its profit target in the third quarter. There, we also find the cyclically weak demand in the commodity-related industries and also structural distortions in regional resource distribution, which are having an effect. This constellation means that, as I said at the beginning of the year, there will have to be material and structural corrective measures. In the third quarter, we have already booked 40 million euros of restructuring expenditure. Most of the expenditure will probably occur in the fourth quarter, and depending on the process of agreement with the workforce and the representatives, there could be some passing on into the first quarter of 2027. It'll depend on the negotiations, which are making good progress, of course. We are proceeding very fairly and cautiously in this respect. Our mobility team also delivered a gratifying margin at the upper end of its target range, and their strategy of vertical integration is really paying dividends here. Also, the fact that in this business, there's software automation in the train business and traffic management they offer as well. Nevertheless, Chinese companies and state-owned enterprises in particular, and also state-affiliated arena suppliers are exerting considerable competitive pressure in the train business with very aggressive pricing and financing offers. Now, finally, our health and ears. It's been another quarter on a high level, even not as magnificent as in previous quarters. The increase in earnings and profit has come mainly from the business diagnostic imaging, scanners and resonators. Medical engineering is focusing and concentrating its position as an innovation driver and expanding it in laboratory diagnostics. You may have heard, some of you who have been present, that the day before yesterday, the Athelica solution was introduced as a new analytical system for laboratory diagnostics. It is much more efficient and faster than existing solutions. Samples, for example, are transported on a magnetic track 10 times as quickly as on conventional conveyors. And we know from our own experience with blood tests and fluid tests in general, it is important in diagnosis and means that any irregularities can be detected quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, the results of the past quarter, and the past quarters indeed, show that we have kept our promises. We have implemented what we set out to do. And despite many headwinds on the market and some challenges inside the company, we have remained fully within our target range for the Vision 2020. The drop in growth, which had been going on for several years, has been stopped, and comparison with the competition shows that we are leaders in growth at present. There is still a great deal to do, but our company needs to be brought back to its full earnings potential and flexibility to meet future requirements. Nevertheless, the good performance of our global team, despite the more and more difficult business environment, means that we've been able to raise our forecast for 2016 for the second time this year. Instead of the expectation of 6 to 6.40 earnings per share, we now expect a range of 6.50 to 6.70 euros. You can see the range has become narrower, which one quarter before the end of the year is only to be expected. And apart from that, all the other parameters in the forecast remain unchanged. With that, I'd like to thank you for attention. And Mr. Thomas and I are now looking forward to hearing your questions. And I hand back to Mr. Hoffmann. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kayser, for the introduction and, of course, the facts and figures. Before we start with our Q&A session, I'd like to point out that if you dialed into the English-speaking conference, then please ask your questions in English, and we're going to answer these questions in English as well. And now back to the operator to give you more information details. Thank you. So if you'd like to ask a question, please press asterisk plus one on your phone. Now the first question. Asterisk one. These are the two buttons you are supposed to press in order to ask your question. First question, Axel Höppner from the Handelsblatt, please. Good morning. I've got two questions. One refers to G&D, what steps have been taken, what you want to do, are you on the right track? And the second question, when talking about the operating margins, you said 11%, is that what you expect, or is that something which has been forecast? Well, Mr. Höppner, thank you very much. Thank you very much for these two questions. First of all, you noticed quite correctly that when it comes to the industries close to the resources, we are really operating in a difficult surroundings. When it comes to the measures which we've taken so far, I can say that we always had a look at the development which we can see from today's perspective. Today's perspective makes us draw the conclusion that whatever we've initiated will be sufficient, not only in terms of capacities, that is adjusting capacities, but it will also be enough to create, say, flexibilities in order to respond to any changes in the market. And Mr. Kayser also just mentioned that in the third quarter, we had 40 million of provisions taking into account of the various adjustments which have to be taken during the financial year. Short of 250 million have been provided for. These are the provisions or the reserves. And in the third quarter, depending on the progress of the negotiations, we will have another amount between 200 and 250 million. Now, operating margin and its quality, sure, we are quite happy about the fact that whatever we've done over the last 3 years initiated, and also the result of the industrial business, all this is satisfying, and we've got 10.7 operating margin. So we believe that we are really working, operating in the right direction. We also assume that in the fourth quarter, we will be able to make the same kind of progress. And during the year, we've announced already that there is a considerable part of the margin potential has been found in the cyclical business. So this is something which, of course, is affected by certain uncertainties, but I believe that we can continue along these lines in the next quarter as well. Thank you. Next question, Rüdiger Kuhn, FAZ. Good morning. Mr. Kayser, you said Q3, you explained everything quickly, but nevertheless, I've got a supplementary question. Could you find out what the factors for the improvement of the results? Because we've got these revision costs, maybe higher margins which you achieved, and then fierce competition. You talked about volumes and costs. Could you please sum up these aspects? And then the digital factory, this division, I do not really understand. You say that the environment, the surroundings are very difficult. Could you give me more details about the context? And the third question, what about Daniela? Could you give us more information in this respect? I can say that the third quarter was really developing very, say, gratuitously, particularly when looking at the development of the margins. One of the reasons is that our top line has been very good. You know, this is an organic growth of 7% in a very demanding environment. And, you know, this also has an effect on our capacity utilization. Then there are regression effects affecting our margin development. And this, of course, refers to our wind power business. In the past, we said that with increasing industrialization, business processes, manufacturing processes, other developments, also logistics being part of manufacturing, we hope for more potentials. We had a record volume sales, that is wind power. This is very nice to see this development, and of course it reflects the effects which we initiated and which we also expected. I think it is also quite clear that with a G, that, you know, we are working on our Egyptian orders. Surely we enjoy a short spot of pleasant or satisfying cyclical or economic development. So this is a good result. Energy management. Here we see a recovery of, you know, coming off the burdens which we had in the past. You probably know these projects, the burden access, which cost us a lot of money. They have, been resurrected. We learned as a result of these situations. And surely it is always very helpful. We really made progress in all this, but nevertheless, we have a high level of respect when looking at this because, you know, there will never be any charges in these large-scale projects. But, you know, we've always faced challenges. We learned, and this means we will be able to face these challenges better. We'll be able to make progress, more progress than in the past when looking at our portfolio. Now, looking at the transformer business, I can say that we really managed to get a turnaround very, very successfully so. And our business in this respect, we really put it into, say, on the right track. And this means we were able to operate very well within these difficult surroundings. Of course, there are also other effects which you know. We've got a very positive market situation in some of our business, the fatal factory as healthcare too. So we can say we are also in a highly competitive surroundings, operating in these surroundings, and we are working on the respective issues that are making progress. And of course, we're also very happy that our cost savings measures, which we've initiated, also make progress, and they can be worked on much faster than we expected in the past. And this means we can announce today that the originally expected lower swap effects or carryover effects will be implemented in the financial year 2016. And, you know, this is the result of many measures which we've introduced and kicked off on a long-term basis. Digital factory. I would like to comment on it as well. I can say that it manifests a difference between what is being discussed and what is being done. You know, the world is full of digitalization and the Internet of Things, but the reality is that this Internet of Things and digitalization will shorten the value chains. So the cost positions will make things smaller, if you like, and the digital factory, if you see it as a division, then the growth is 2.5%, so it's been growing. I don't know a competitor which has attained this growth, and some of our competitors' growth is even negative. So the situation is different for us. One of the reasons is that in this division, we have been working at developing a software, and of course this kind of service software is on the increase. We've got a growth rate of 8%, and other aspects, you know, automation. Here we see factories which are being built all over the world. You know, the world is always attempting to attain efficiency, so the operating cost position is to be improved, and then simulations and optimizations of processes. This is what is at stake and what is being worked on. So we can say that our software business, you know, here we have red or negative growth rates like all the other comparable companies. There is digitalization taking place, but if you look at the development and manufacturing departments of the industry, I think the effect is less than people believe. This might change, but at present we are working on these issues, and a growth rate of 8%, you know, software within factory automation, I can only say that this means that we are on the right track, and it will also take into account the trends. But Gamesa, the short answer is no. There's nothing new. The more precise answer is that we've got to work on a few things. We have to submit the plans, and we have to think about the AGM. Then we also have to take into account which board members will be nominated. This is being worked on at present. So what I want to say is we are working on the preparatory measures. This takes time, and I can say that there are no, say, major deviations or discrepancies in comparison with what we intended to do. Edwin, and the progress there? Well, you know, in this case, you have to ask Ariba, because at the time, we have seen Gamesa, so was considered to be a company taking part in the signing process. We had envisaged 50%, and I believe that this is a good result. If they find a buyer offering better terms and conditions, then I think this is good for us, and it will mean that Gamesa will also take into account this 50%, and I believe that the buyer has really deserved this. We've got a deadline of 90 days. This has been agreed upon unanimously, so this 90-day deadline will expire in mid-September, and then a third has to come on stage and submit a binding offer. So this is the reason why Gamesa would like to, you know, give this off, and then at the end of the day, I believe we've got something which is correct and fair, and this as part or against the backdrop of the merger. Thank you. So the next question from the Börsen-Zeitung. Mr. Kaiser, Mr. Thomas, Mr. Hoffmann, I've got three questions. Mr. Kaiser, you said that there are lots of things to be done in order to bring Siemens closer to the expected earning powers. Now, what are your ideas for 2017? Special terms and conditions for Egypt, how will they be substituted for? Capital market still a bit, you know, restrained, also with a view to 2017. Fourth quarter, this is my fourth question, my next question. Result of the shares, fourth quarter, and it achieves the level of the prior year, but there were certain reductions in value. Now, you talked about HR restructuring costs. Are there further burdens which you envisage? And then the gap in coverage of pension plans, this is a high amount in the millions, and is there the necessity to counter-steer these developments? But let me start with the first question, and then I would like to hand over to my two colleagues to answer the next two questions. I believe it is correct to point out that despite an orderly or a good quarter, a satisfying quarter, you know, we cannot say that the sky's the limit or the trees are really growing into the skies. We just have to bring the company to a profitability or earnings power and have to continue investing. This is one aspect, but the more important aspect is that we are looking at the conduct, at the values of the company, and bring it to a point that the company, and I call it flexible, you know, that the company becomes more able to adjust to the speeds and the insecurities or uncertainties of the future. This is very important to us, and particularly in times when things are really working out very well, we can say that people understand that things will continue. We've achieved a lot of things, and we are really proud of what our team has achieved. We've done a lot of work, and this is reflected in the result, which we can show. But nevertheless, we really have to do more. We have to change the mindset. We have to, you know, adjust the speeds, the velocities at which we respond. We have to open our minds to new things. And, you know, this is what we called the owner culture. We said from the very beginning that this is very important, and all the changes, you know, all those, you know, starting to celebrate at a party, they say, okay, we're now in a good position, back in the Champions League, if you like. This is not really how we want to shape the future. The next quarter is always the most difficult one ahead, you know, and this is like with football matches. And you mentioned 2017. I believe that many companies of the industry have really got their hands full doing a lot of things in order to handle everything that is at stake in 2016. I believe it's too early to speculate on what will happen in 2017. And, you know, of course, internally we are still discussing and thinking about issues ahead. But in November 2016, we are going to give you more information. We are one of the first companies of this industry who have to make announcements. You may remember that we announced and commented the forecast for 2016 in November. We said that we had an increase of the geopolitical tensions. This is what we identified at the time. I must say, I would have wished that we had given the wrong forecast, but I can say the whole range of things that are happening up until terrorist attacks and also national idiosyncrasies. Maybe I should not use this term, but you know, the national emphasis or stressing nationalities. So this, of course, is not necessarily promoting international trade. So in November 2016, we will give you a forecast, and we can say that, again, the geopolitical development has to be taken into account, that this in the context of nationalism, you might even call it populism, but, you know, this is what is on our minds all the time, because many of these things, you know, they create uncertainties. And uncertainties will create restraint, and restraint will weaken the investment climate. And this means, you know, expenditure will also be lower. And, you know, at the end of the day, this will mean we will receive fewer orders. I do not want to quantify the results, but this is something which is really high on our agenda, in our minds. And of course, in November, we are going to give you our comments, what we think. But at present, I can say there are positions which we are going to address. How are we going to adjust to what is ahead of us in 2017? Of course, we are thinking about it in tactical terms, for instance, in operational terms, looking at the development of the company. What about strategic aspects? Of course, we would like to continue.
Well, Mr. Flemming, you rightly mentioned the shortfall in the pensions plans. There's not been enough safety ring for all the companies on the German stock exchange. Let me begin by saying that compared to the rest of the listed companies and the financing level, we are in the upper quartile and have been for 10 years now and have a very high coverage level. Where does the change come from? Well, I can assure you that it is due surely to actuarial parameters. There's not higher liabilities. There are in the form of costs on the benefits side. It is the changes compared to the previous quarter, which have seen large sums that have to be invested for long term. The contract has increased by 50 basis points, and for us, this means that there is a shortfall. Does it mean that we have to pay in more? No. We're observing the development, have been doing so for a long time, and of course, we have gone through different scenarios. And even if the situation with the interest levels should be so weak or become even worse, then we have the scenario for it with a good answer. Specifically, means still no need for further contributions because of the developments resulting from Brexit in terms of pounds. This will have an influence as well. We have considerable operations, which will be reflected in the funds, the pension funds, and the effects were driven by that in the last quarter. The second question you asked, Mr. Flemick, was concerned with the business that we can call below the line in our accounting. Of course, the situation is that at this time there are issues which you are fully aware of, and which are driven by interest rates to a considerable extent. One of these, which is also mentioned, we have the biggest provisions in our balance sheet for Hanau, for example. The time structure goes up to about 2070, which is a very long time. And that shows, too, that we are making long-term precautions for liabilities there, and the reduction in the base rate has had a major effect here as well. In the same quarter of the previous year, third quarter of fiscal 2015, compared with what we have seen in the third quarter of this fiscal year, the influence on earnings has been a change of more than 200 million euros, and that shows how great the influence is. We cannot rule out, of course, that current developments and interest rates mean that in the fourth quarter, too, we'll see a further fluctuation. Further point is that because of refinancing activities of the past few years, we issued bonds in US dollars, the 144A, where we had to pay higher interest rates as liabilities, and in the third quarter that has been reflected compared to the same quarter of the previous year. The difference based on 1 month of that quarter, in May last year, this came from the takeover at the time, referenda. Now we'll see it in an entire quarter that the influence makes itself felt, which affects the interest rates and then the assets. Last but not least, as you know from the previous years, you've been observing our company for many years, the central costs are subjected to seasonal fluctuation. In the fourth quarter, as a rule, they are higher than in the previous quarters. So that is how we see our assessment for the fourth quarter as a whole. Thank you. The next question is from Gerhard Hegmann from Die Welt. Good morning. I also have two questions. First of all, a follow-up question on the shortfall in the pension plans. The Free State of Bavaria a few days ago said that it has invested its pension funds partly in Volkswagen shares and has seen a loss there in the share price. Can you say that whether with your pension plans you have also invested in Volkswagen shares, and if so, whether you're also considering suing them? And the next question, Mr. Kieser, you spoke of the risks in the geopolitical situation, and in your introductory statement you also mentioned Turkey. Do you have any specific decisions to react to political developments in Turkey? For example, you'd say that I shall shelve investments for the time being, or are there any other specific steps? If I can begin with the first question, it is not up to me to comment on the investment policies of the Bavarian pension funds. We, for our part, make sure that we don't have customer risks or anything else in the pensions industry. So if something like that were to arise, theoretically, it would only have a very, very marginal effect. And we do not intend to start any legal actions on the basis of the situation. Can I follow up there? Mr. Flemig spoke about an obligation to add more to the fund. The shortfall is 12.7, you said, which is a maximum level historically. It was much lower in previous years. The gap was much smaller, and it was already said that we're going to have to do something about that. Where do you see a trend where you can say that now we're going to have to pay some more in, as other companies have done very recently? Daimler, for example, has reduced the gap by making payments. Where do you see the limit where you will have to become active? That's a good question. I said when I answered Mr. Flemig that we have looked at various scenarios, and the answer to your question, if we want to give a professional answer, we cannot name a specific sum because the causes of the changes are what is decisive. Historically, if I can put it very simply, there were three different influences parameters. First of all, interest levels. Secondly, the mortality rates. In other words, how long people will be drawing pensions. And thirdly, then the expected inflation rates, the increase in the pension level. And if the last parameter were to lead to an increase, then that would have a real effect. It was also an important aspect in the past when we decided, it was also the case with other companies, that we would pay into the pensions funds. But if we realistically just look at the first factor and look at the timeline for obligations, we're talking about periods of 50 years and more, and there we cannot expect that we can anticipate in full what the discount factors will be in future. There's the reaction profile to changes induced by these parameters, which will be different from the actual real increased pensions obligations on the payment sides. So there is no particular amount. I can only say that we're observing it constantly, and we do have quite clear ideas about how we would react appropriately in particular situations. And in none of our plans worldwide are there any obligations to make further payments, and we're not even close to it, even if the interest rates were to drop slightly. Thank you. The subject risks and Turkey. Well, of course, we need to keep an eye on that. That is perfectly obvious. Only yesterday, at the meeting of the supervisory board, I was speaking to the head of Turkey because I wanted to hear from him what the situation really is. And we wanted to hear that we get information not just from the media. And he said, things are quiet inside the country, the internal economy is calm, the political intensity with other countries in the world is one issue. And asked what about the workforce, and he said, is there anything that a company should do there? And he said, no, there's no cause for concern at present, but we're doing our work, and we simply need to stay calm, is the basic message. But of course, if there were subjunctive investment plans, such as building factories or that, then I don't know whether we'd want to accelerate the steps there, that's obvious. But it's a question of remaining calm and collected and just allow the head, our head of Turkey to advise us and see how things develop. In Turkey, that's an important partner for us. There are more than 80 million people there, so we cannot, as a company, simply follow the volatility of the political situation and then start closing factories and opening them up again when things quieten down. The customers would leave us. So it's a question of keeping a cool head and keeping an eye on how things develop, because in a, things are happening which are not really desirable in a modern democracy. Thank you. Come to the next question from Jens Hack from Reuters. Good morning, gentlemen. I wanted to have a follow-up question on whether there are any new developments or what you expect with medical engineering in the year ahead. For example, there was a possibility of a stock exchange launch. Thank you, Mr. Hack. No news in addition to what we've already said. You can see that the medical business is being strengthened in the course of the year and is developing very well, both in absolute terms and also compared to the rest of the industry. We had a certain gap in efficiency and in competitiveness in diagnostics, which became apparent in the depreciation at the time when we had to write off a lot of business which didn't achieve what was expected, and we decided to develop a new platform addressing the competition and customers' wishes. It was presented the day before yesterday, and we know that with this platform we have considerable advantages over equipment on the market. We don't know what our competitors will do in the time ahead, but for the time being, we shall take the lead, I think. And it was important to us to concentrate on that, which is what we're doing at present. Our expectation is clear that this is an excellent business also because of the demographic developments. There are growth potentials that we see depending on the degree of care for the world population, and we're doing everything to strengthen the Siemens business there. The first step was to form a company in the company with its own entrepreneurial focus and also entrepreneurial freedom. And secondly, also, the medical engineering business was to be aligned to where the trends are. And the trends are greater and greater integration in hospitals, and another trend is that we see more of a move towards treatment, diagnostics. So the first step, then you get to treatment, and the third aspect is the effect on diagnostics, on imaging diagnostics. And since I mentioned it, the fourth aspect, digitalization, will not just stop there. Analytics of gigantic quantities of data, of patient profiles and all. That will take time, longer than in industry, because the regulator, the lawmaker there, also plays a role. The health insurance funds and so on also need to adapt to new treatment models and have a model where we it will not be possible to react quickly, but simply because of molecular diagnostics and provisions for hospitals and suppliers. These are main developments for us which we are prosecuting, and there will be changes in the structure which we shall take into account. But at present, we know what we want. We know that we are doing the right thing for the market. Otherwise, there's nothing new to say.
So now we can take another two questions, and then we're going to conclude this conference call. Thank you. Next question, Klaus Wonneberger from the Nürnberger Nachrichten. Wonderful, good morning. Looking at the time, I'm going to focus on BG because I believe all the other questions have been answered. Just one question. Now, talking about the negotiations, to what extent will you be able to follow the targets you set? Are there specific negotiations, or what are the things you are working on? And is it correct that these negotiations might be, say, ended? Well, thank you very much for this question. You know, industries, we've got the several divisions involved, and there are two aspects. There's the weak economy in certain industries. Now, this is a development which we understand, and it is not necessary to adjust our structures. But here, we are going to adjust our capacities flexibly. So this means we are going to work through these times, and we would like to keep our workforce. But this, of course, must be seen as a necessity, not as a target, saying, well, we've got a cost problem, and then we have to tackle the, say, entity causing these costs. There are structural problems. Maybe we've reached the end of the life cycle, so maybe there were substitutions on account of innovations, or maybe the markets have changed fundamentally, particularly regional markets, and therefore these markets require different cost structures. Well, we haven't, we just wanted to make sure that we, you know, keep and maintain our productivity and even improve it. Now, the remark about these excess positions or overhangs, you know, just to make it clear, it is highly likely that the restructuring provisions will be made in the fourth quarter. So this is the time when we want to look at them. So just beware, something might change. So this is the kind of statement we would like to make, not a precise and specific statement. I think there were talks with representatives of the employees. That is how we can move forward. And you may know that the representatives of the employee have said and consider this or thought it is right to have their own expert. And what I hear, that there is an assessment of the structural situations which tallies with ours. Surely there are some positions which are different. Of course, we have to understand that. But when looking at the assessment of the situation, at the necessities to be initiated, then we agree. Now, this is very important. We want to have a common basis which we can use in order to move forward. I can say that the talks are very constructive. Surely the issues being discussed and the opinions are different. But this is something which is understandable, but I believe that we also will have a fair progress in this respect. Thank you very much. And our last question now, Manuela Dollinger from the Münchner Merkur. But yes, good morning. I think most of my question was answered just now, so I would like to follow up on this. Now, the restructuring process, when do you think it will be concluded? Well, I'm tempted to say, restructuring, what are you talking about? All right. You know, at the end of the financial year 2015, I said that restructuring the company has been concluded to the greatest extent. And I said, well, you know, this is what people say, this is what he told us, but still things are going on. I can assure you there will always be issues which we have to work on. There are new customers, new technologies, markets, everything is more dynamic, everything is developing much faster than in the past. So this is what we have to take into account when we adjust things. Digitalization, surely, digitalization will make things faster than in the past, more so than we've been accustomed to. This refers to everything in this world. I also mentioned when talking about other industries, I said that there will be changes. And in my short statement, in my short introduction, I said that we have created 30,000 new jobs, and of those, 2,000 in Germany. Now, when talking about the 2,500 jobs, which will be created, which will be affected in Bavaria over the next 2.5 years, so for you know, we also said, you see, that there will be 4,000 new jobs. All this is to explain how dynamic everything is developing. Surely there will be changes, transformations, and surely we try to anticipate them, and we are going to respond to these changes. So having said that, this is a very normal way of doing business, taking into account changes and dealing with them. Now, what is very crucial is to not to say we restructure things then saying, okay, that's wonderful, and now we're going to sit back and wait for another 3 or 4 years, do nothing, and then the next, say, big wave will approach. You know, this is something which happens frequently. In this case, we do not continuously deal with these changes, but sometimes you just wait, then you see new changes looming on the horizon and, you know, causing unrest. It's not easy to look at all this. If you look at the competitors and if you look at the clients and ask them, what would you like? But, you know, this ongoing change, this is very important. And Mr. Flemish asked, what did I mean when I said that there are lots of things to be done in this company? You know, it means it all has to do that that this all has to do with an ongoing change, an unending change, if you like. So this is something which others felt as well. I didn't say that this is easy, but at least it is our claim that we are going to take an active part in shaping the future. Thank you very much for this comprehensive answer. Yeah, I believe this is a very important issue. So this concludes our Q&A session, and now back to Mr. Hoffmann for final remarks. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for attending this conference call, listening to our quarterly figures, and beyond that, in a few minutes, we're going to start our analyst conferences with Mr. Thomas and Mr. Case. And of course, you can also follow this conference live under the internet address given. We are going to meet again at the 10th of November for the annual press conference with the figures for the fourth quarter. I wish you a nice day and wonderful day. Thank you very much and see you. Thank you.